Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the word of a king is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Father, in Jesus' name, we come together now in prayer. We ask you one more time, Lord God, to Lord, touch this message, Lord God. Help me, Lord, to speak your word, Lord, in a manner, dear God, that is faithful and rightly dividing the word of truth, and help me to have clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that you might be all the more glorified, dear Lord God. May your spirit minister to our hearts, as we pray your spirit would minister to the hearts of others, dear God, through this message as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Starting in verse 42, St. Luke chapter 12. The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, given their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of the truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants, and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken. Lord, that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Continuing in verse 47 down through verse 50. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of this, of him shall much be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth. What will I be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Now, here in the context, say, in Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 50, Jesus is addressing, starting in verse 42, this matter of the faithful and wise steward. When I think of faithful, wise steward, I'm reminded of how God is a faithful creator, and we are able to commit ourselves unto him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. So the faithful and wise steward commits himself to well-doing, unto his Lord, unto his God, the faithful creator. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? That faithful, that wise steward. Fears God, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
He fears the Lord. And even fears his Lord. His Lord, as the steward honors him by making him ruler over his household, giving his portion of meat and due season. When I think of their portion of meat and due season, I'm reminded of the meat of the Lord of God. Now, the Lord, faithful, as a faithful creator, to give his faithful and wise steward the meat of his word in due season. See, the faithful and wise steward is not and cannot remain a babe in Christ. The faithful and the wise steward must grow. He must mature in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith of his Lord. As he grows, he's able to consume more than just the milk of the Word, the milk of his Lord. He's able to consume, he's able to eat that portion of meat in due season, which his Lord is so faithful to give. Not only him, but every faithful and wise steward who fears him.
Come on.
Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So does the Lord find me, does the Lord find you tonight, dear listener, as a blessed servant,
wow,
wise steward. Are we feasting on our portion of meat in due season? We've been saved for any amount of time. If we got past the milk of our Lord, the milk of the Word, and if we started feasting on that portion of meat in due season,
well,
we hide His Word in our heart, we might not sin against Him.
Now, come on.
Are we? Even the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but He overthrows the words of the transgressor. Are we taking in the knowledge, the counsel of His Word, even as counsel in the heart of man is as deep waters, but a man understanding will draw it out? Are we drawing out the counsel of the meat of the Word of God in our lives daily?
Well,
if we do that, we will be all the more prepared to, as wise and faithful stewards, overthrow the words of the transgressor who comes against the words of our Lord. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
Yeah.
Or am I, are you exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, as we are commanded to do? Hey, our only obligation as Christians, okay, goes above and beyond winning people to Jesus Christ, okay?
Come on.
Only at the end of the day, we can't win anybody to Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can win them through us. So let's not get all addicted to this. Be so easy to make people want to say a prayer, 1, 2, 3 after me.
Oh, come on.
Well, we make you fold more the child of hell. Like unto yourself, many of you preachers out there that engage in that.
Yeah, man.
And the truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. His blessed servant, his Lord, makes him ruler over all that he hath. Again, back to what I was saying a moment ago. Our obligation as Christians goes above and beyond soul winning. We're called to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And when you expose the unfruitful works of darkness, you're not always going to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, but you still expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Just yesterday, I was at the little mall, and I had an encounter with a sodomite lesbian security guard cop. Now, she didn't fall down, of course, and she didn't repent right there on the spot. But the unfruitful works of darkness were still exposed. And the fact of the matter is, the God-haters that we have in our government, and these God-hating judges that we got in this country today, she had a fresh reminder that they, along with her, were all going to stand before and answer to Jesus Christ. And when you expose the unfruitful works of darkness, they're not always going to like you for it. They're rarely going to like you for it. Jesus said you're going to be hated of all men for his name's sake. Get used to it.
Well,
verse 45. If your Lord came back today, if the Lord came back today, would you find you willing to be hated of all men for his name's sake? But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delay at his coming, it shall begin to beat the men's servants and maidens. To eat and drink and be drunk. Verse 36. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. There's this young man right now, this gentleman, he's about 46, 47. I'm not going to mention his name. The fact of the matter is, before too long, Lord, boy, I'm going to be sitting down with him by the grace of God here before the end of the year. And this other pastor, this one local church, and going to be challenging him about some things. He said one day, when I was going along with him in a van to deliver some cakes, basically how the 30-year temple goes up and gets rebuilt. When he hears about that 30-year temple getting rebuilt, then he's going to get all right. He's going to get right with God, you know, and get everything in order, so to speak. Not according to Jesus Christ, he's not. According to Jesus Christ, he's going to come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And believe me, though this man professes to have gotten born again, he's been showing himself to be exactly what he is, an unbeliever. And, in fact, I just crossed paths with him again today and expected to be coming back from another service. And the Spirit of God made it clear I was supposed to keep on walking. And I kept on walking because he told me not to say even hello to him. And say a word to me, but I pray the Spirit of God will convict him so hard. I'm sure the Spirit of God is doing just that. Pray for his salvation. You don't even know his name. God knows his name.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, and something else you also forgot. There's a strong delusion that is going to be set by God on those professors who don't possess. When that final hour of temptation comes, God is going to send a strong delusion that they all might be damned to believe not the truth of that pleasure and unrighteousness. He forgot about that. Being blinded by the God of this world. Oh yeah, God will choose. You're delusion, dear listener. If you think that you're just going to get right with God when you hear about some significant prophetic event taking place, you just said, no man can come unto me because the Father shall set me draw, but I will raise him up the last day. Okay, if God does not deal with you, you're not coming. There's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. You're going to get right on God's terms. You're not going to get right at all. Verse 47. That servant which knew his Lord's will, but feared not himself, who did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Beaten with many stripes. Quickly, I just want to say something. Your title of this message is awfully, the Lord delayeth his quest, his coming. The Lord delayeth his coming, question mark. That's the title of this message. And I tell you the answer to that question is no, the Lord does not delay his coming. So when we talk about, what the scripture said, he now tarrieth, no longer tarry. There's a time when he that tarrieth, no longer tarry. As we're going to look at the book of Hebrews. That God only tarries, as it were, in the eyes of men. But he is always known when he's coming back. And in his own mind, it's never been tarrying to him. He only tarries in the eyes of men. So the Lord doth not delay his coming. But see, it's estimated that the Apostle Paul's conversion was around 35 A.D. It's also estimated Paul's first missionary journey was around 45 A.D. And real quickly, I want to remind you that according to Peter's second epistle, according to the book of Psalms, a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. Peter put it this way, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering to us, Lord, not only that any should perish, but also come to repentance.
Yeah.
According to the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, following this matter of the day of the Lord, he has 1,000 years, we read in the book of Hosea of God and his dealings with the nation of Israel, and we are told, in the context, that after 2 days, he will revive Israel. He will, and in the third day, he will raise them up. In fact, the matter is here, we consider in Daniel chapter 7, don't forget Pope, I believe it was Pope Leo, he had advanced, it's a fact that he had advanced the calendar by 4 years. The Roman Gentile calendar by 4 years. So, right now, though this is considered 2015, actually, it's technically 2011. And in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 to 25, this is another reason why, when I just mentioned about Pope Leo, I believe it was, advancing the calendar by 4 years, this is another reason why God's great men and women throughout church history have equated the papacy as the dynasty of Antichrist. It was written in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and bring it in pieces. And the tenth horn out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and it changes times and law. There it is. It changes times and law. And it shall be given to his hand until a time and time and a divided time. Well, we have good reason to believe that even the sins of the very law that have taken place in these United States of America, that the Pharisees have a hand in that behind the scenes, working through the Jesuits, working through the Illuminati. So, God-fearing men and women have a good reason to believe that the papacy is the dynasty of Antichrist. And also in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17 and 18, Daniel chapter 7, verse 17 and 18, one reads, "Peace, great peace, pray to the Lord. These great peace are four kings which shall rise out of the earth." This is why I say praise the Lord. Verse 18. It ends all just fine. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So praise the Lord. We know who wins in the end. You're on the Lord's side, the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the line of the tribe of Judah. You are the winner. Even that victory is in it and through him.
Yeah.
You're alone.
Winner.
Thank you to him for the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, look at Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. The Word of God said, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Verse 2, after 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Verse 3, "Then shall we know if we follow on and know the Lord. His going forth prepared in the morning, and he shall come unto us the rain as the latter that former rain unto the earth." So after 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up. So a day is the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. So God's going to spend 2 days, 2,000 years moving the Gentiles after he set Israel aside as a nation. Now, Paul's conversion, the apostle to the Gentiles, is estimated to have been around 35 AD. So, 2 days, 2,000 years, 2035 AD. Now, again, I'm not setting dogmatic dates with this. I'm just trying to give you a perspective here. Paul's first missionary journey, 45 AD, they estimate. You had 2 days, 2,000 years, 2045, 2045. Now, what's interesting, if you go to ancient beasts, imageofbeasts.com, imageofbeasts.com, Brother John McTernan's blog, Image of the Beast. For July 16, 2015, you scroll down, another singularity, Image of the Beast, you read 2045, Avatar Project Milestones. And there's a clip here, right below there, Brother John has posted. "Road to Immortality, Russian Explorers, Avatar Project, Age to Create Robot with Human Brain." And ultimately, the climax of this project, starting from 2015, goes to 2040 to 2045. Again, Paul's conversion, estimated around 35 AD. You had 2 days, 2,000 years, 2035. Paul's first missionary journey estimated to have been around 45 AD. At 2 days, 2,000 years, 2045. Interesting. Reaching immortality, one of humanity's oldest goals, is an effort against nature or the next potential step of human evolution. A Russian businessman, Dmitry Bitskov, founder of the Russian 2045 movement, believes in the latter. He has planned to transplant people's brains into robots and to make immortality impossible, this article declares. Is he totally mad or a great talent? The answer I would say he's mad for the beast. That's all there is to it. But, having said that, what's the point? The point is that the Lord is not delaying his coming, as some would think. The fact of the matter is, we may just have a little bit longer to go than some would like to believe. It's not much longer. It's just a little bit longer. And the fact of the matter is, even if we did know dogmatically that we had that much longer to go, the fact of the matter is, if our heart is right with God, we're not going to be like this hypocrite Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 12. We're not going to take it. The thought of having so much time as an excuse to get drunk, to eat, to drink, to be some men servants and maid servants, the means. No. We're going to look at it as all the more of an opportunity to serve him on this earth, to worship him, to love him as he first loved us. Understanding that this could be our last day. Because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Even Jesus Christ didn't come back for another 100 years. So, we need to worship him. We need to serve him. We need to love him with all our hearts. Like, this is our last day. Like, tomorrow was our last day. And as long as we remember that, as long as we love him because he first loved us, we're not going to be like this hypocrite here. We're not going to get that attitude. We're going to be faithful, wise stewards. We want our Lord to make rule over his household, to give us our meat in due season, and we will be counted blessed of our Lord when he comes and finds us so doing. I want that for me, would you, that for you, listener? Verse 48, but he knew not, and did two things worthy of stripes, and beaten with few stripes. For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom it is given much, of him will they ask the more. Hey, there's degrees of damnation. Don't you forget about it. There's degrees of damnation in the wrath to come. For those of you out there, portion with the unbelievers. If you're not born again, if you're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in his death, burial, and resurrection alone for the forgiveness of sins, you're not born again, having the Spirit of God take up residency in your body as the temple of the living God, you're yet in a condemned state, having your portion with the unbelievers. Jesus said, I have come to set fire on the earth, and what will I be kindled already? Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 28-29 talks about this fire that was kindled in Jesus' day. It will be kindled all the more. And it's kindled every time his word is spoken. Jeremiah 23, 28-29. The word of God declares, the prophet hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and get half my word, let him speak my word faithfully, what is the chaff of the wheat, saith the Lord. Is not my word like as the fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock to pieces? That's the fire that was sent on earth. The fire of the word made manifest in the flesh, and it had been already kindled. Verse 50, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, Jesus said, and how am I strength to be accomplished? Talking about the baptism of death on the cross. Hey, there's a baptism you're trusting in, and there is. It's the baptism of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Sin of his blood, the remission of your sin, that's the baptism you should be trusting in. Well, if you can be one of these souls that down south they call water dog, and trusting in water baptism, and not baptism of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection on the cross. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35, 39, winding down here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. Cast not away therefore your confidence that which hath great recompense and reward. Hey, be that faithful, be that wise steward, dear listener. Verse 36, for you be in patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and yet it shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hey, don't draw back like that hypocrite. Get cut asunder and have his portion with the unbelievers. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition. The author of Hebrews writes, but are of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Romans 16, verse 25 to 27. Romans 16, verse 25 through 27. Now to him is the power to establish according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which kept secret since the world began, now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations in the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The word of God declares, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, so their part the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What lies all takes to make you a liar, worthy of the lake of fire before a holy God, dear listener?
Amen.
Mortals, thou shalt not kill. God says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abide in him. To have ungodly hatred in your heart for your neighbor is to have committed murder in your heart before a holy God. And again, as a murderer, you'll be counted worthy of a lake of fire. The Word of God declares, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The adulterer shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thou shalt not covet. The covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless of taking his name in vain. Using the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being like a curse word, blasphemer you are, worthy of a lake of fire. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You look at anyone other than Jesus Christ, you look into something other than Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come down to earth to die for your sins. You look at anyone or anything other than him for peace. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're looking at anyone or anything other than him, you are an idolater. Worthy of the lake of fire, to the lake of fire he will go. Except you believe on him and trust in him alone. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Gospel St. John declares that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him, sinner, and be reconciled today, and be found that faithful, wise steward in his Lord. So call blessed.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians. Oh, but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Venial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.